Galatians chapter 6. I also want you to take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll hold those two places, and I'll be preaching from these two texts. And Galatians chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to welcome all the visitors today. We're glad you're here. Welcome everybody here. We'll tell you we love you in the Lord. Now let me say something before I get started. Is the volume all right? Volume's okay. Can you hear me back there, Carol, and you guys back there? Can you hear me all right? Now, I don't like for people to come into churches and be fooled around and their souls played with. Amen. And I want everybody here to know something today. I'm not playing around with your soul. We don't, at this church, don't try to play games and slick you around and make you feel good, and we're trying to tease you over to our side of things. We're here strictly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved, you're lost. And we're preaching and worshiping, not just to come to worship the Lord, but also to reach people. If you're here today and you're not saved, we want you to be saved. That's the goal of our preaching. And I'm not trying to slick you around and play mind games with you. Not interested in that. Neither are we here to make you feel good about being lost. If you're lost, you're unsaved, you're in danger of hellfire. You are in big trouble. You have the wrath of God hanging over your soul. And I want you to know that. I don't want you to leave here feeling like somebody was just, you know, we're just not here playing games with your mind, your soul. I see so much of that out in churches these days. And people are, you know, they're trying to be, in our attempt to make people feel welcome, we want to just act like they don't need Christ. They do need Christ. And I'm telling you, the person that tells you the truth is the one who loves you. And I want you to listen to this real well today. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 14, I do want you to know that we do love you. And the Lord loves you. And He loved you so much that He gave His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in my denomination. God forbid that I should glory save in the way I dress. God forbid that I should glory, what? Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch what the cross does. It says, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Did you know if you get saved, that's why some of you will not get saved today. Because you know intuitively that if you were to really get saved, I'm not talking about religious games, if you were to really get saved, that the world would crucify you immediately. They would cut you off and kill you philosophically and personality-wise. They would cut you off if you really get saved. Some of you that are sitting in here today, you profess to be saved. You're not saved. You know why I know you're not saved? Because you're not crucified to the world and the world hasn't crucified you. If you're really saved, the Bible teaches that the world will crucify you just like they did Jesus Christ. And you will be crucified to the world. That's what happens when you come to the real cross of Calvary. The cross has been mellowed down and been made a little ornament and been made a little side road show and so forth. And people don't really realize what the cross means. The fact of it is, can I say something? You'll hear 1,000 messages on the love of God before you hear one message on the cross of Calvary and what it really means, the doctrine. Go to your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul said in verse number 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize. You wouldn't think that would be true with a lot of preachers. They're more interested in baptisms than they are conversions. But he said, he sent me to preach the gospel. Now the gospel is, that, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is the death, the substitutionary death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Alright? That's the gospel. For us, so that we can be saved. But to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That's going on. What we're trying to do in this age is to get people converted to a churchianity without them ever having been to the cross of Calvary. We're trying to get them to pray prayers and do religious activity and become religiously involved without ever having been to the cross of Calvary. He said there, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect by wisdom of man's words. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You may be sitting here today and really you're just here. You don't even know really how you got here. But the preaching of the cross to you is foolishness because you have no interest in God. I'll show you the purpose of the cross in just a minute related to that. But he said, it's preaching them is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Can I say something to you? It will take the power of God to redeem you and save you. Then verse number 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Those people who think you've got to look it all up in the original languages. Yeah. Hey, where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. And if it pleases God, it ought to please you and I. By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I still believe that America had 5,000 preachers, we could turn this country around. We've got pulpiteers and entertainers and philosophers and just on and on. But say preaching, and people don't like preaching. You ever notice, you ever have anybody say, don't teach it me now? They don't say that. They say, don't be preaching at me. You see, preaching comes with authority. Like Joel said the other night, teaching you can kind of take or leave it. Preaching demands that you do something with the message. It said there in verse number 22, For the Jews require a sign. If you can see somebody's leg go, you might get interested. The Greeks seek after wisdom. They want to be in a sorority or fraternity. Then it says, but we preach what? Christ crucified. Under the Jews, that's the religious crowd, a stumbling block. Under the Greeks, that's the worldly crowd, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. The song we sung earlier today said the old rugged cross, so despised by the world. God's been dealing with me for some time. How much, Reggie, are you preaching on the cross? How much of, I like to preach on family messages and home and marriage and raising children and all that kind of thing. But let me tell you something. The cross of Calvary will take care of 99% of all that. It'll fix all that. If you ever get to the cross of Calvary, the cross will fix your backslidden, wicked, low-down mind. It'll fix your heart, and nobody has to give you a 16-point deal on it. When your heart ever gets right at the cross, you'll get fixed so fast, make your head swim. Now, we remember the rugged cross. We're here at Easter Sunday. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. He went out from His disciples to a place on Mount Olives called Gethsemane. And there at Gethsemane, He took three of the disciples further, and then He sat them down and said, watch and pray. And He said, I'm going to go pray. You stay and watch and pray. And He went and prayed. And as He was praying there, remember the Bible talks about His sweat is the great drops of blood. And then He was betrayed. Judas brought the scribes, the Pharisees, and the officers, and the elders there, and they arrested the Lord Jesus Christ. They took Him to the high priest place called, His name is Caiaphas, down at the Sanhedrin, which is like the Supreme Court. And then from there, they took Jesus Christ to Pilate, to Pilate's hall. Pilate later sent Jesus Christ after His arrest to Herod. Herod had his fun. He wanted to see a sideshow and couldn't get it. And he sent Jesus back to Pilate. And Pilate tried to get them to release Jesus because he said, I find no fault in Him. When he could not do that, he washed his hands in water and said, I'm innocent of this man's innocent blood. He washed his hands of it. Then the Bible said he had Jesus Christ scourged, and then they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. During the time frame of all that I've just mentioned to you, the Lord Jesus Christ was blindfolded. The Lord Jesus Christ, as blindfolded, was what the Bible calls buffeted. That means your fist in another man's face. That's an English word for busting a man in the mouth. And while he was blindfolded without the ability to move his head back and to dodge or to move to soften the blow, they came by Jesus, those Roman soldiers, and they busted him in the face. They also, when they spit in his face, they sniffed their noses and they hawked their mouths and they took their snot and their spit, which is a picture of your sin and my sin, and they spit till it run off the face of our Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did they do that, but they smote him with their hands, the Bible said, and they stripped him naked. Can I tell you something? You've never seen a real true picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. Never in your life. Because he hung there naked, not with a loincloth on him. He took our nakedness before God and took that on the cross. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible also teaches us, Mark, they took a crown of thorns and they placed it upon his head. And then they nailed him to the cross. And Jesus Christ there for 6 hours on the cross, 3 hours of which was total darkness, of which no man today yet knows what transpired between he and his heavenly Father, where he took him on his own body, in his own body, our sins. Now listen to me. All of the suffering that Jesus Christ did, the Bible said that his visions was marred more than any man. The Bible said that his body was marred more than any man. That's in Isaiah chapter 52. The Bible teaches us that he was scourged. In other words, they ripped his flesh from his body until, according to Scripture, he was unrecognizable as a human being. But I want to tell you that was not the ultimate suffering that Jesus Christ suffered. The ultimate suffering that Jesus Christ suffered was the fact that he was the sinless, perfect, harmless Son of God who never did any sin. Now taking the sin of the world in his own body on the tree during those 6 hours on the cross. I do not know by human words how to explain to you what transpired between God and Christ and those times on the cross where he took our sin in his own body on the tree. But I know this, that after those 6 hours he died on that cross and he yielded up his life as a sacrifice for our sins. He then was buried, and the Bible teaches us, went into the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. At the conclusion of that, the Bible teaches that he come up from the grave on the third day alive. And the gates of hell and the bars of hell and death and sin could not hold our Lord Jesus Christ. And may I take just a moment or two to say this morning. That's the distinguishing issue between Christianity and all of the religions of the world is that we serve a risen Savior who is dead but is alive forevermore. And he came up out of the grave this morning. Bless God Almighty. And I'm telling you this morning, without him and without his life, you will die and go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. He came up from the grave. And the Bible teaches us appeared here upon this earth 40 days. And then he led captivity captive. But I want to say to you, somewhere in the midst of that thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, between Calvary and that ascension, took his blood and put it on the mercy seat of the true tabernacle in heaven so that he could take captivity. And you know something he did? He went down into that compartment called paradise where those people who could not go into heaven before Jesus Christ put his blood on the mercy seat. And he put his blood on that mercy seat so that those in the Old Testament who had believed on the coming Lamb of God could be brought out of captivity. And here comes David, and here comes Abraham, and here comes Noah, and here comes all the saints of God who could not be in the presence of God till Jesus put his blood on the sacrifice on the mercy seat. Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven. He is now interceding for you and I. And someday he's coming back again. And someday he's going to rule and reign upon this earth. Now, you say this, Reggie, what are you talking about? I want to go further in my ministry. I'm 58 years old and I've been preaching 30 years now. And I want to tell you something. As the road gets a little tighter and as I move on toward eternity, there's something, a lot of stuff is beginning to sift away. And the focus of the cross, both ministerially and both personally in my life, is coming more into clear view all the time. For it's the preaching of the cross whereby men are saved, not anything else. I want to say this to you this morning. I want to preach a great message on the message and the meaning of the cross. I want to say to you, first of all, this morning that the cross is not just something you see hanging around somebody's neck. It is not just something you might see along the road. But the doctrine of the cross in the Bible has some very critical fundamental doctrines that every person needs to know about. Number one is this. The cross tells you and I this, that man is an utterly, totally depraved, wicked, vile sinner. Now you listen to me good this morning. I'm not one of these guys that will grease your slide to hell. Are you listening to me? I'm not going to grease your slide to hell. You're a sinner. You are a sinner. You have violated and transgressed the holy laws of Almighty God. The Bible said all have sinned. That means me. That means you. That means everybody you know. You say, well, listen, I'll just go to hell with my buddies. A man told me that the other day as I was witnessing him. I said, you will not go to hell with your buddies, and you will not drink beer with your buddies in hell, and you will not play cards with your buddy in hell. You'll burn in hell. You'll be tormented in hell. You'll scream in hell. I'm saying this to you. The Bible teaches all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I don't know that I've sinned enough. You say, how could a loving God send me to hell? I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But let me say this to you. You probably committed adultery. You probably committed fornication. At least in your mind. You probably went around naked. You probably cussed. You probably taken the name of the Lord in vain. You probably lied like a dog. You probably stole somebody else's praise and somebody else's honor, if not their goods and possessions. I'm saying you probably dishonored your father and your mother. You've probably been covetous of what other people's had. You've probably been bitter at what people have done to you. You've probably not forgiven those who have offended you. I'm saying that you're so loaded up with sin, it'll send anybody to hell. I'm saying today that until you recognize you're a sinner, God has no good news for you. For the cross means nothing to a man who does not realize that he is a sinner. I'm saying that if man is not totally, listen to me, if man is not totally depraved, you can turn me off if you want to, but you ain't going to turn God off at judgment, buddy. You can turn God off if you want to. You ain't turning God off when it comes time for you to die. You listen to me. I love you enough to tell you the truth. If mankind is not totally and absolutely depraved, Jesus Christ died on the cross for nothing. If you're not a sinner, he died in vain. If I'm not a sinner, he died in vain. The Bible said he tasted death for every man. If Jesus Christ died on the cross, if you and I are not wicked, sorry, no doubt, hell deserving, totally depraved sinners, he died. It's all a joke, amen. And I say to you, if it's a joke, I'll throw my Bible to the sea. I walk out of that church house and I'm done. But it's not in vain. We are sinners. And the cross says to you and I, you are a sinner. Amen. I want to ask you something. Now, there's two kinds of sinners. There's a kind of sinner, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Everybody sins. Then there's a sinner who's humble before God. And a sinner who says, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I've sinned against you. Let me tell you something. It's not your sins against other people that really counts. You sinned against, and this is number two. Here's the number two thing the cross tells you. Listen to me good. The cross tells you about the holiness of Almighty God. The holiness of Almighty God. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Missy. You can't hear a message on the holiness of God in America to save your soul anymore. Everybody wants to talk about how God is so kind and so loving and so compassionate and all that. And nobody is preaching about the holiness of God. Can I want to tell you something? If I was to take an offering plate this morning and put little white pieces of paper in that offering plate and pass it around this church house and say to every one of you, take a pencil and write down in one word, the greatest attribute of God that you know of. Did you know what 78 to 98% of you would write down? Love. You would say that love is God's greatest attribute, and you would be as wrong as hell itself. You say, well, no. You say, oh, God's love is the greatest attribute. No, it is not. God's holiness is far above His love. I'll prove it to you in Scripture. The Bible teaches us that for God so loved the world He gave us. Does God love everybody? Answer me. Yes, sir. Unequivocally, God loves everybody. For God so loved the world. Now I want to ask you too, another question. Is everybody going to heaven? No. Well, God loves everybody. Why didn't everybody go to heaven? He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. And He will not violate His holiness to let you into heaven. If you think that God will violate His holiness just because He loves you, you are blinded by the devil. God will send this whole world to hell. If God violates His holiness, we're all gone to hell. Everybody's not going to heaven just because God loves you. I've said for 30 years, you may go to hell unsaved and you will. But you will never go to hell unloved. But you will go to hell loved if you don't repent of your sin and place your faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is holy! Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve sinned, God thrust them out of the Garden of Eden. He put the cherubims with a flaming sword turning every way to keep them out of the presence of God. Why? Because of God's holiness. You come up to the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah cries, and he saw the Lord, and he said, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." I want to tell you something. You come to the book of Revelation, and the Bible said that there are beasts around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they do nothing but 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, they do never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." I want to tell you something. If you want to learn how to worship God, get off your high horse. When's the last time you got on your face before God and said, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty," which was and is to come? I'm going to tell you something. We've turned God. We are a nation of religious idolaters who have turned a holy God into a hand-wringing, mushy-mushy, lovey-dovey, squishy-squishy, "I can do any sin I want to," and go to heaven. And that's idolatry. It's idolatry. We think we can go out and shack up with everybody in the country, commit fornication, still die and go to heaven. God loves me. Now, amen. We think we can go out and cheat people in business. God loves me. We think we can watch pornography. God loves me. Now, I want to tell you something. God loves. I want to tell you something. You listen to me again. If you don't learn any other thing here this morning, you get this. That God's holiness is a higher attribute than His love, and He will send you to hell. Now, you listen to me. I said this morning that Scripture says, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross, by which the world is crucified to me, and I am to the world." I want to tell you something. You know how you can tell a man saved or not? Whether you can know how you can know whether he's ever been to the cross or not, if the world is crucified unto him and he's crucified unto the world. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If you ever come out clean for Jesus Christ, you've ever been to the cross, your worldly friends will lose you like ticks off a dog in wintertime. I'm talking this morning. Listen. You know why? Some of you are sitting here this morning, come to this church every Sunday, and you're lost, and you're one heartbeat away from hell. Because anybody with one eye could tell you're not crucified to the world. You dress like the world, look like the world, speak like the world, talk like the world, love the world. You want the world to like you. You'd do anything to get the world to like you. You are not crucified with Christ. You have never been to the cross of Calvary. It is evidenced by your life. God help you to have somebody love you enough to tell you the truth finally. The holy nature of God. Let me give you something. When Adam was put out of the Garden of Eden, you know what? God told him there was going to be a curse on him. He said, "In the sweat of your brow." You listen to me. Every time, this is why you ought to work. You know what this country, we don't want air conditioning about everything. We don't want to sweat in this country. You know what God said? He said, "I want you to work." And he said, "When you work, that sweat drips off your brow." You know, when I'm preaching and I'm sweating, you know what that reminds me of? I'm a sinner. Because sweat is a picture of the curse of God about our sinfulness and to remind us that we need to be reconciled to God. I'm going to give you something. Jesus Christ walked on this earth. He walked lots of miles. Did you know He never sweat? You can't find the Bible where it ever said Jesus sweated walking from Jericho to Jerusalem or Jerusalem to Jericho or up to Judea or down to Samaria. You know why Jesus Christ didn't sweat? Because He's holy God. And there's no sin in Him. But oh, I'm going to tell you something. You read your Bible, check something out. You come into the Garden of Gethsemane and He's there on His face praying. And Luke, the old physician, said in the book of Luke, he's the only one who records this. He said He was in an agony as He was praying, "Father, if it be Thy will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but Thy will." And the Bible said, that His sweat, woo, was as great drops of blood. He was bearing our sin, this curse, in his own body, and his blood was what was going to pay for it. Amen. Woo! Now, some of you got told that in the science class, you'd think that's really something. I told you, and you think it's nothing. Ain't no book like it in the Bible. There ain't no book like it in the world. I'm telling you this, that he's holy. Number three, you know what the cross tells me? That the wrath of God is against all sin. Why did God do it? The Lord, God the Father, hath laid on him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. Why did God do it? Why did God put his Son on the cross for us? Because the wrath of God, that's another thing you won't hear preached in America anymore. Oh, he's a kind, loving, sweet, wonderful, hand-wringing, mixed up, confused. No, he doesn't know what's going on, God. Let me tell you something about God you need to know. You know what this Bible says? Flee from the wrath to come. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give an invitation here in just a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to come not to this church and not to that altar. I'm going to ask you to come to Christ, the Christ of the cross. But you know what the Bible says? Some of you are so proud, you've already got it in your little head that you ain't going to be embarrassed in front of these people. You know what you'll do? You'll pop hell wide open in the middle of your pride. You will pop hell wide open. I'm going to tell you, you ain't afraid to get out on the dance floor. You're not afraid to go to a beer joint. You're not afraid to run around the square on Sunday night. But you won't come forward in a church service. Hey, go and tell you something. If you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. I'm saying this to you, that the wrath of God, the Bible teaches us that the wrath of God is against all ungodliness. The Bible said, flee from the wrath to come. In the book of Revelation, they said they were crying for the rocks and the hills. They were finding caves. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. You're only alive right now by the mercy of God. God holds your very breath in his hand. You are only breathing. It'll be by his sweet mercy that you're able to get in your car today. The wrath of God. Nobody thinks God has wrath. You, let me tell you something. God has plenty of wrath. That leads me to my next thing. The cross tells you that God not only is holy, that man is a sinner, and that God has wrath against sin, but the Bible teaches us the penalty of sin is shown in the cross. The wages of sin is death. Now listen to me good here. The wages of sin is death. The word death does not mean ceasing to exist. The word death literally means separated, cut off. And when we say somebody died, what we mean is like when Rachel died in the Bible, it said, as her soul was in departing. She was having Benjamin, the baby. And she was having hard labor, the Bible said. And the Bible specifically says, and as her soul was in departing. When you die, you don't just die like a dog or a chicken. Your soul and spirit is going somewhere. All that is buried is your body. The house you're living in. And I want to tell you, God told Adam and Eve, he said this, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Some old stupid, idiotic Bible denier comes and says, well, they didn't die. Adam lived so many years. Yes, he did. He died spiritually that day. He was cut off from God that day. Bible's right. And that's what you need to learn. There's not just physical death. There is a spiritual death. And some of you today are abiding in spiritual death right now. You're separated from God by your sins. But that's not the half of it. The Bible teaches three kinds of death. Are you listening? Physical death. That's when your body separates from your spirit and your soul. Then there is spiritual death. You are separated from God spiritually. But there's a third kind of death. And it's called the second death. The Bible speaks of it in the book of Revelation. Here's what it is. It is when you have been resurrected, your body's been come up, and you stand before God as a lost, Christ-denying, Christ-rejecting person. And you stand at the great white throne judgment, and your book, and they look and examine the books, and your name is not in the book of life. The Bible teaches that God will say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. The Bible said these were cast into the lake of fire forever. The second death is when you are thrown, when you are cast into the lake of fire forever. Now that cross teaches us that there's a penalty for sin. Now listen to me good. That's why Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was being cut off from God. Now I don't understand everything that happened after Jesus died, but I'm telling you something I have to believe in my soul, that He took my punishment and I believe He went to hell. I'm glad He came out, amen. I believe Jesus suffered for my sin. But I want to ask you something. 50 years from now, in less than 100 years from now, everybody in this building will be in heaven or in the lake of fire, depending on what you did with the cross of Calvary. What have you done with the cross of Calvary? I'm telling you this morning, listen, my heart is burdened. It's been months. It's maybe been years. I couldn't even hardly think about anything else the last 2 weeks. But preaching this message. Because I'm just going to tell you, I'm not some big soothsayer. I don't hear that jazz. I'm not up here trying to act spiritual. But my heart is trembling for people that I know very well. My heart is trembling for people that give no indication that they've ever... You see, A.W. Tozer said this. He said, we've got a new cross in America nowadays. He said, it's a real cardboard, styrofoam, flexible cross. It's not very heavy either. You can take it down to beer joint with you. You can take it down to any old place with you. It just packs around anywhere. It's real convenient. If you're with the religious crowd, they kind of like that cross to be there. And if you're not, it makes you look morally and respected and all that. It makes you feel real good. And that's what's going on in American churches right now, is a new cross that crucifies nobody. Can I tell you something this morning? I'm telling you this, there's a penalty for sin. In hell, there'll be gnashing of teeth. Think about this. Gnashing! Gnashing of teeth! You'll be in such pain, you will gnash your teeth! The Bible said you'll scream in hell, that you'll weep in hell, you'll wail in hell, you're in torments in hell. I'm going to tell you something. You are going to die, and the cross proves it, and the cross shows it, and the cross demonstrates it, and there is a penalty for sin, and it's the death. Not only that, the cross shows the justness of God. I remember that black man in the movie Courageous, saying to that other cop when he was witnessing to him, trying to get him to understand about a just God. He said, if some man broke into your mother's house and raped her and cut her throat and left her bleeding in the floor, and they arrested that man and brought him up to the judge, and that man came up before the judge and said, well, judge, I did do that. I did rape that woman, cut her throat and killed her. But Lord, that's the first time I've ever done anything like that. And I don't think, the rest of my life, I've lived a pretty good life, and I think you ought to let me off. And if the judge looked at that guy and said, you know, you got a point there. I don't see any record back here. You've not done. Listen, don't go out and do that anymore, okay? See you later. There's not a soul sitting in this church would jump up out of your seat in that courtroom and say, my God, what's going on in this place? Now you listen to me good. For God to be God at all, He has to be just. He has to be just. And for God to be just, He will have to send you to hell unless you repent and trust Jesus Christ. For God not to send you to hell, He would have to be an unjust God. And I promise you, He is not. God does not want to send you to hell. Now listen to this really good. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5, He is just and the justifier. Of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying to you this morning this, that God is just, please listen to me. You may be wrapped up in religious idolatry, and you may have carved a God out of your mind that wouldn't send you or anybody else to hell, but you're deceived. Are you listening to me? He is just God. He will do what's right. He is holy. And you learn that by looking at the cross. Because you see, wait just a minute. Why couldn't have God just kind of wrung His hands and said, Dad, damn it, these people are really messed up down here in the world. I'm just going to kind of forget it all and go on. He's a holy, just God. Sin will be punished without question. I'm telling you, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. You are headed to judgment with your life. Not only that this morning, but the cross shows, listen, and if you don't get anything else, get this.
The cross of Calvary shows that salvation is by substitution. Now listen to me good. It shows us that salvation is by the substitutionary shedding the blood of an innocent sacrifice and substitute. This is where millions are missing it and going to hell. You can quit smoking, doping, ripping and roaring. Bust hell wide open. I said a couple, 3 weeks ago, virgins go to hell with whores. They're not saved. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You'll never get saved by going to church a lot. It will not save you coming to this church. You will not be saved by getting baptized in water. You will not be saved by quitting habits. You will not be saved by changing the way you dress. There's only one way for you to get saved, and that's by substitution. Let me tell you something. This great truth is only revealed by the Holy Ghost to a man's heart, because Satan will fight you tooth and toenail right here. Are you listening to me? He'll fight you right here. He will blind you right here. Right here's what you need to know. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. Listen to the scripture. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. That substitution. The Bible said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said, who His own self bare our sin in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness by which stripes were healed. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, listen to it. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, that's Him. For the unjust, that's me. Why? That He might bring us to God. The only way you'll ever get saved is by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that He died as the Lamb of God, as a substitute in your place. He died in your place. He died in your place. That's the only way you can ever dream about getting saved. You can't get saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. You see, the problem is you're going to have to get off your high horse. I'm going to tell you something. You need to hit the deck. You need to say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm headed to hell. I'm wicked. I'm low down and rotten. I've been playing the game. All I do is try to blame everybody else for everything else. And God, I'm a sinner and I need a substitute. And God, I'll take Christ as my Savior. The cross teaches you substitutionary salvation. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible said, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Bible teaches us, the old song, there is a fountain filled with blood, flowing from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Brother, say this, the cross teaches me a great truth that I cannot save myself. I cannot save myself. You cannot save yourself. If you and I could save ourselves, why did Jesus die? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As I said earlier, you can quit everything, but you cannot save yourself. Only Christ can save you by His substitutionary death on the cross. And let me say this morning, one of the things that's so wonderful about the cross, there you really learn the love of God. There's where you really find out that God loves you. Let me tell you something this morning. If nobody else in the world loves you, God loves you. And that love wasn't some cheap throw-off. He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. I have sons in this church house this morning. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't give any one of them for any of you. I just don't love you that much. How on earth, my soul, what kind of God do we serve that would give His Son for a sinner like me? What kind of God would do that? You've never been loved like that by anybody else. And you never will be loved like that by anybody else. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let me give you something you're going to need. I hope some of you this morning decide to get saved. I hope some of you throw up the white flag of surrender to God and say, you know what, I'm not going to hell over what anybody thinks. But I want you to know this. This is something the cross teaches and you need to know it. When Jesus paid that debt on sin on the cross, He paid it all. He paid it all. And I want you to know something. There's enough sin from that wall to that wall, from that wall to that pulpit, to sink the Titanic. And I'm telling you something, the devil tries to drag back up to me, Brother Phil, my past. But you know what I remind him? That on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, the last thing He said, it is finished! And I'm telling you this morning, Jesus Christ paid all the debt. Gone is all my debt of sin. A new man is built within. I'm telling you, listen, Jesus Christ paid for all your sin. I don't care if you've laid in the back seat of a 47 pickup. I don't care if you've been so drunk you staggered and didn't know how you got home. I don't care if you've left two wives. The blood of Jesus Christ can pay for every sin you've ever committed and every one you ever will commit. You can be forgiven. That's the gospel. You can be forgiven. And that's what the cross, the message and the meaning of the cross is this morning. Let me say something to you now. You say, Reggie, give me another meaning and message of the cross. The cross kills. Are you hearing me? When people went to the cross in the Roman execution days, folks like Jesus did, you didn't come back half alive. Nobody came back from the cross alive. Now I'm going to give some of you something this morning that God is working in my heart about. The Bible teaches we are crucified with Christ when we come to Him. Folks, did you know the Bible said the old man is dead with Him? This is a doctrine that's hardly ever preached anymore in America. We've excused our sin in the name of our flesh nature till it's about to make me puke. Well, I just got in the flesh. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody's got flesh. Oh, we do? What happened to the old man that was crucified with Christ on the cross? Did you know what, Frankie, when a man cusses you, if you're dead, don't mean nothing to you. And you know what? We want a cross that doesn't kill us. That's what we're wanting. We want to go to a cross that will not kill our flesh. We want a cross that leaves our pride very intact. And certainly not a cross that would kill our anger. We want a cross that lets us go do them things that we know are displeasing to God. Now some of you, if I ask some of you this morning, you say, oh yes, I'm saved, I was saved. Yeah, but no, you're not dead. You ain't been to the cross of Calvary. Because you're not crucified to the world. I can look at you and see it. I can watch you. I ain't dumb. I ain't stupid. And you're not either. Except you may be deceived. Can I tell you something? Do you know what's wrong with the Christianity in America? We've went to a cross that does not kill. Now I'm preaching because it's stone silent in here. We're not even interested in a cross that would kill out our flesh and our worldly desires. Do you know why, Nathan, people don't want to go to the mission field anymore? It's because they have never been to a cross that killed their personal life. Do you know why some of you wouldn't even entertain the idea of serving God, really? It's because it would require you to be crucified. And your dreams and your ambitions would get shattered if you were to ever get on the cross of Calvary. All we want to talk about is the resurrected life. Can I give you something? No resurrection ever will or ever did occur without death first. And no man can be risen in newness of life in Jesus Christ until He first dies on the cross of Calvary. That's what's wrong with our Christianity. We got a new cross. It lets me fulfill all my life's ambitions and the spit be with what God wants me to do. Oh, I'm going to heaven. I receive Jesus. Have you ever been to the cross? Because it's through the preaching of the cross men are saved. It's not through good sounding man's words of wisdom. Did you remember that? Next. The doctrine of the cross, now watch this, separates. Jesus was on that cross, two men were on each side. To start with, both of them were lost sinners. But you know what Jesus did? He came down through the middle of some people's lives and split them. Now you listen to me good. You know why I know some of you's never been to the cross? Because you're not separated. I'm going to promise you something. Do you know why, Brother Dennis, that I know I got saved on January the 24th, 1982? Because up to that time, I'd been a little religious hypocrite that was had never been separated. But when I came to the cross as a repentant sinner, trusting in the finished shed blood of Jesus Christ, whoom! The cross of Calvary came into my life and He separated me from this world. And without separation, you have no evidence you've ever been to the cross. And I promise you, the cross will separate your friends. The cross will separate your family. Jesus told you it would. That cross will come right down through the middle of your family. It will cut your home right in two. We're so deceived. We're so full of stupid religious pride. You know what we spend most of our lives doing now in America? Making excuses for people that's really going to hell. Yeah. Now let me tell you something. What really gets my goat. I believe in eternal life. You know what that means? I believe when you get saved, you're saved forever. Amen. You're given eternal life and you can't lose it. Period. All right? Now, you know what really gets my goat, Brother Adams? These preachers run around believing you can lose your salvation. They won't even touch things I touch when I preach. You know why? Because their congregations are full of it. And they're afraid to preach on it. And they don't even believe what they claim they believe. And if they really preach what they really say they believe, their whole congregation would be lost. I'm telling you something. The world and the church, it'll cut one side or the other. Light, darkness. Truth, lies. The cross separates. And I'm going to tell you something. If your trip to salvation has never separated you, you remember what the text was? Crucified to the world crucified to me. If it's never separated you, dear friend, you might have been to a bench, but you've never been to the cross. The cross also reconciles. Because when Jesus hung on that cross, He was between heaven and earth. Are you listening to me? And Jesus Christ is the reconciling, that cross is the reconciling figure where man, wicked, sinful man, can be reconciled to a holy God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you'll ever be reconciled. And finally, let me say this, that the cross saves or the cross sentences. Can I tell you something this morning? If some of you treated your own boss like you treat God, you'd get fired tomorrow. You'd get fired tomorrow. You think God is some kind of hand-wringing somebody up there that's piddling with you, you're crazy in a bed bug. And I'd rather make you mad and make you realize some truth today. God have mercy on your soul. Now here's what we're going to do. Let me show you some cross separation. Tonight we're going to take an offering up. I never do that on Sunday nights. You know that. We're going to take an offering tonight for a family in this church. They're sitting out over yonder. She gave up her job because she would not sell liquor.
Amen.
And they said, either you sell liquor, there's the door. And she took the door.
Amen.
Are you seeing what I'm talking about this morning? That the cross separates people. And Sister Donna Sullivan, I want to tell you as a pastor right now, Gun barrel straight. I'm proud of you.
Amen.
Troy, better take good care of a woman like that. Amen. And she let her job go rather than sell liquor over here at this truck stop. Donna, I honor you for it, and I'll tell you this much. You kids, you better sit tight. You better listen good what your mama just done. Because I'm going to tell you something, kids. There's not one in the 500,000 mamas in the United States would have given up their job. And if you think it didn't concern her about how your faces are getting fed and how your backs are getting clothed. But I got news for you. There's a God in heaven. The earth is His and the fullness thereof. And Donna, what happened? And Troy, what happened was that cross came right down through the center of your life. And it'll save you or it'll sentence you. What have you done with the cross? Now here's what I'm going to do. I want Joel to come or sister to come, piano. I want you to play the old rugged cross. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to know something. I know I preach loud. My wife always said, Reggie, sometimes you look awful mean when you're preaching. But I promise you, as God is in my heart, I love you. And I want you to be saved. I want you to die and go to hell. That's all it's about. And I'm going to tell you something. I've got to pour my heart into it. I've been praying all week long. Oh, God, help me not say something I shouldn't say. God, help me to preach that cross. And I love you people. And some of you know you're going to walk out of here today and this will be the last time God's Holy Spirit will ever deal with you. Right now, if the Holy Spirit's dealing in your heart, convicting you of sin, you know what God's doing? God's drawing you to the cross. It's there at the foot of the cross. Ground's all level at the foot of the cross. Don't matter who you are. Don't matter how much money you got or ain't got. Don't matter how much you sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And I'm going to tell you something. You can be forgiven today and God can save you. And that's my message to you. The preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross. I want us to bow our heads. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the cross of Calvary. I pray, Lord, today that I've not said something that would be displeasing to you. And I sure pray, Lord, that I've not said something that would turn somebody away from the cross. Blessed Holy Spirit, I have to lean upon you. I'm nothing but a mailman. But oh, would you deliver the truths that we've preached to the heart and the spirit and the souls of those that are listening today. And God, would you do something that nobody in the world can do? Would you change a heart? Would you reach out and grab a heart today and let them know God? Help them to look at the cross. Help them to see, God, that we're all sinners, bad sinners. Lord, help them to see that you're a holy God and you can't let sin go. It's got to be dealt with. It can't be in your presence. Help them to know, God, that you're just, but Lord, that you're a justifier of the sinner. Lord, help them to know today that sin has wages. Help them to know, God, today that Christ paid it all on that cross, that he died in their place as their substitute. And God, may they reach out with their soul and their heart today and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. God, may they see today, Lord, that it's not just some little old shallow something, God, join this club deal. But God, it's a separating thing. That it will crucify them to the world and it will crucify the world unto them. And so, Lord, I pray today, help them to count the cost. Help them to realize, Lord, that there's nothing that should be exchanged for their soul. And God, I pray today that you'd help them to realize that their own imaginations can deceive them. And then, Lord, finally, what I'd like to ask you to do is that, Lord, you would remove that spirit of procrastination, that you'd help them to know that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Lord, none of us can boast that we'll be around tomorrow. Lord, thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you, Lord, and I pray especially that they'll see when they look at that cross that you love them and that you love them so much that you gave your son to die in their place and they can be washed and they can be forgiven and they can be clean and they can be saved. They can be reconciled. They can be at peace with God. They can be made ready for eternity. And oh, God, I'm asking you, would you just please keep the devil from lying to people and from binding people in the next few moments? And I'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and the pianist begins to play. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And when I ask you to stand, I'm going to ask you to step out. I'm going to ask you just to come find a place up here to kneel down. And say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And place your trust in Jesus Christ. Ask God to save you through Jesus' blood. God will do that today if you'll ask Him. Now, we're not going to badger you and bother you and aggravate you, nothing like that. Because, you see, this is between you and the Lord, isn't it? And you've got to be willing to come to God today. But may I say to you today, with all the earnestness of my soul, that if you could get one glimpse of hell this morning, you wouldn't hesitate. You wouldn't fight. You wouldn't argue. You wouldn't discuss it with the devil. You'd flee from the wrath to come. And there are people this morning in hell that if they had the chance that you have today to be saved, they'd give anything to sit where you're sitting today. But you know what happened? The devil led them into lies and deceit. Told them they could do it some other time. Told them it's not the truth. Told them that people would laugh at them. Told them you can't live it. And on, and lie and lie and lie to them. Until finally, they dropped off into hell. I pray you'll not do that today. I pray that when we stand, would you get somebody by the hand near you and say, would you go with me to pray? I want to be saved today. Some of you that profess to be saved, and I want to talk to you right now very seriously. I hope you know I love you. But boy, I tell you, it looks dangerous to me. You're not crucified to the world. In fact, you're dancing to everything the world tells you to do and how to do it. And friend, I'm scared for you. I know what it is to be locked into religion, to be locked into a shallow profession. But I want to ask you something. Have you been to the cross where it separates you from this world? Because if you've ever been there, it will separate you. I want you to come do business with God this morning. I want you to forget worried about what anybody else thinks. You say, well, they'll know I've been a hypocrite. So what? I'd rather get saved today and have it known now than at the judgment bar and be too late. We're going to stand in just a second. I want you to come too. Those of you here today who may have a need, it's Easter Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. You just want to do business with God and draw close to the cross. You just do what God tells you to do today. Let's stand together. Would you come even as we stand? You come. There'll be somebody to work with you here today. God bless you. God bless you. Folks are coming. I want you to come. I want you to come. Whatever the Holy Spirit of God tells you to do, come. Would you come? Come on. Come on. While the Holy Spirit of God deals with you, would you come? Would you come? All I can do is beg you, plead with you. I'd like to ask you this question today. How many could say of an honest heart, you might fool me, you might deceive other people, but you can't fool God? How many people say with an honest heart, Brother Reggie, I've honestly been to the cross. I've not just been to church. I've not just been to an altar. I've been to the cross and took the dying Lamb of God as my Savior and received the forgiveness of my sin. And by that, I know I'm saved. Would you lift your hand to glory and would you wave it to God and say, Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Amen. God bless you. You may put it down. Let me ask you a question. You say, Reggie, I could not raise my hand. But I'd like to be able to. I'm struggling. God's dealing with me. Would you, by an uplifted hand, At least let me pray for you before we go today. Would you slip a hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. I need prayer. I'm not saved. Would you slip your hand up high anywhere? Will you die and go to hell with no concern for your own soul? No concern for your own soul? Anyone else today? You need to come. You need to do business with God. Are we crucified with Christ? Dear Lord Jesus, the best I know, I preach what you'd have me to preach. I ask, dear God in heaven right now, that you bless this message to the hearts of people, not only just here in this auditorium, but to people around the world, and that you would save people through it. God, I know the one thing, that you honor your word. And I believe, Lord, you'll honor the cross, the preaching of the cross. Oh, God, help us to quit trying to do good and be nice people. Help us to realize we're sinners, saved by the grace of God. Help us to take off the garments of pride and arrogancy and religion and kneel at the cross and be like the Apostle Paul. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. God bless these families, these individuals. Holy Spirit of God, follow every lost man and woman, boy and girl out of this building today. And don't let them have any peace until they found rest at the cross of Calvary. And I'm asking you to do it for Jesus' sake and for His glory, I pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. I hope.